Boy, I'll tell you this. When you're sick, the last thing you feel like doing is this. And yet, the show must go on no matter what. So I've been trying to stay quiet, to not move. Because as soon as I move, I go into coughing spasms. So I'm going to try not to get excited today. If I do, watch out. But that's okay. You'll see me in all my glory. I am laid off the cigarettes. Yeah, like I said, I've only been smoking those things for 6 months. But I decided that's enough. I've had my fun. I don't think they cause this bronchitis. Because I've had this before. This is familiar to me. Way before I started smoking 6 months ago. I've had this maybe once every couple years for like a decade. So, but I'm sure the smoking's not great. So I just quit smoking cigarettes. It's no big problem. I don't even think about them. I told you, it's a hobby, not a habit. So yeah, I don't miss them at all. I just do it because it's fun. That's it. I don't do it very well. You've reminded me of that over and over again. Thank you. 2 weeks ago, the hell did I do 2 weeks ago? Oh yeah, 2 weeks ago I talked about loving God. I went to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I took these. This is the love chapter, and I took the characteristics of love, and I said, we always apply these to each other. This is how you're to love your associate, love your wife, love your friends, love your enemies, actually. But then I said, I had a problem. Go back to that video. Watch the video called Loving God. Breakthrough Doctrine. It's fantastic. Phenomenal, in fact. One of my favorite videos. Go watch that. Because I got to verse 7 in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love is believing all and expecting all. And I'm thinking, how can we believe all of someone else or be expecting everything of someone else? That's when it hit me. I called this the Bob Evans revelation because this occurred to me at a Bob Evans in Withville, Virginia. This must be human beings toward God. Now we're going to do something fun today. Don't try this at home. I'm a trained professional, but I'm going to take the love chapter. Because this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to apply it from God to humanity. Here's why. Surely, the love of God eclipses the love of humans. Surely, if I could work up this love, this kind of love, love is not taking into account evil. Love is not indecent. Love is not puffed up. If I could do these things, not all the time, but I do pretty well. If I can do these things toward my fellow humans and toward God, then I would surely think that God would be found doing these things toward humanity. Because would God ask human beings to do something that he could not do? We're human beings. We're ants. We're reptiles compared to the great and glorious God. Surely his love exceeds ours. Because if I can fathom something that would be so loving, then surely I haven't tapped the ceiling of love. Surely God's love has to exceed whatever I come up with. Let's say I come up with something crazy. Let's say I say God is so loving that he's going to overlook everybody's sins. Oh, wait a minute. No. Better. Wait. He's going to send his son to take away everyone's sins. Wow. This is the love. Check this out. He's going to send a son. And that son is going to take the sins of the world on him. And it's going to cause him terrible suffering. Going to cause him unspeakable grief. He's going to be scourged and beaten and hung on a tree, on a pole. It's going to be horrible. But because of that, every human being, no matter how bad they are, all their sins, including the sin of unbelief, it's a terrible sin, unbelief, not even believing God, it's a terrible sin. Including that sin, Christ took it all on himself. Well, that is loving for God to do that. And Jesus Christ was in on it. He said, yeah, I'll do this. I volunteer to take on the form of humanity, and I'll do this. Because I love humanity. And so the love, this kind of love where everybody's saved. Everybody's eventually saved. That's funny. My sister told me, it's too noisy being outside. You got to get back in your car, because I was wandering around the alley. What happens now? This guy's back here weed whacking right outside my car. Unbelievable. The guy don't even know I'm in here. I tell you what, this guy doesn't know he's being used by the adversary to disrupt this great message of love. Now I got grass flying all over the place. Unbelievable. All right. So, as a human being, I come up with this. That the sacrifice of all the crazy timing, this guy, God bless him, he's doing us a service, you know? But, I, Martin Zender, say that my love, I would do all this and save every single human being. Wouldn't that be great? All right. Then that's reasonable. Like, I would want to save my son from drowning. I'm such a nice guy. I would save my enemy from drowning. If I saw my enemy in a lake floundering around, people flounder, ships founder. I forget which it is. Yeah, I think so. But what do I do? Put my foot on their head and dunk them down in the water? No, I would rescue my enemy. I could list the names of people right now. If I saw Joel Osteen drowning, I would rescue him and his wife and his kids. I really would. That's my kind of love. Are you telling me God's love is worse? Oh, wait. Oh, shit. Excuse me. Are you telling me that my love exceeds the love of God? All right. God's not going to tell people to love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and not going to express this kind of love himself. Let's go through the list. And let's picture the Christian idea, the Christian theory, the Christian love. This is how Christians love this teaching. They love the eternal torment. They love the idea that people are going to be eternally tormented. They say they don't. They say, I wish this wasn't true. Oh, come on, give me a break. Yes, you're glad it's true. If you wish it wasn't true, you'd strain. Your eyes would water trying to find out ways it could not be true. And then I would show you translation issues with the word Ionian. I would show you translation issues with the words Hades, Gehenna, and Tartarus. Yes, I would show you figure of speech issues like the rich man and Lazarus. And I would show you verses that are ignored, like Romans 11:36, everything is out of God, through God, and toward God. 1 Corinthians 15:22, as in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. But no. You would think you would strain. Oh, Martin, give me those verses. I want to believe this so badly that I'm going to analyze this till my eyes water. No. No, they don't. What they do is they analyze eternal torment. And they get embedded in that. And they refuse. They actually refuse to look at other passages. And they don't want to hear objections. And that just belies their confession that, oh, I wish it wasn't true. Oh, God, I would die if eternal torment could be taken away, but that's just the way it is. My enemies are going to be burned. What can I do? They can't wait for their enemies to be burned. All right, so let's apply this to people in the Christian version of hell. This is God. Now, if you see behind me, the Russians are home. Yeah. There's a Russian couple living over here. There goes the Russian lady. Yeah. Two Russians come in, three Russians go out. They had a baby while they were here. That's why they came here. Well, actually, no, two Russians go out, and two Russians come in, and two Russians and an American go out. Because the kid was born here, now he's an American. I saw the kid naked, hanging out here, all spread out on the chaise lounge. I saw the naked Russian kid. I'm going to tell him someday, I saw you. Anyway, God bless them. They're nice people. They don't speak much English, though. All right. Love is patient. Oh, really? I guess God could be patiently bearing with the screams of the people in hell. Okay. Love is kind. No. Love is kind. It's just the kindness of God that makes him torture people forever in hell, and even though they're screaming their regret, and they're screaming their sorrow, God says, I'm working up all the kindness I can. You're just going to have to stay in there. But God, you could perform a miracle and get us out. In fact, you sent your son to save us. This is a display of my kindness. That doesn't work. A kind person would get a person out of hell. That would be the kind thing to do. What's the kind thing to do? To get the person out of hell or leave the person in hell? Would it be kind to leave a person in an eternal flame when they can't get out and they're screaming their regret and they wish they could change their... Change it now. Can't we change it? Is it too late? Is it too late? Well, I'll tell you what, I'm so kind. No, it's never too late. I'm God. I'm going to get you out. No. God leaves them in. That's not kind. This doesn't work for God looking at people in hell. Love is not jealous. I don't know how that one applies. Love is not bragging. Love is not puffed up. Love is not indecent. Oh, that one doesn't work. Indecent. That's the most indecent thing I've ever heard, is to torment people forever. An infinite punishment for finite sins. That's what we're told is the justice of God. That's what we're told is decent. That's righteous. That's not righteous. Especially after Jesus Christ sent his son so that this wouldn't happen. Let's say that this was scheduled to happen anyway. God sent his son so that this wouldn't happen, to avoid this, to save people from their sins. That's even assuming that eternal torment is the punishment for sin or the effect of sin. It's not. The outcome of sin is death. Death is the penalty of sin. Death, death, death. Jesus Christ saves us from death. But let's say that eternal torment was the price. Well, for one thing, we're told Jesus Christ paid the price of sin. If the price of sin is eternal torment, why isn't Jesus being eternally tormented? Did you hear that? If eternal torment is the penalty of sin, as the Christian religion tells us it is, which is an insane religion, crazy, lunatics, every one of them. If eternal torment is a penalty for sin, and if Jesus Christ paid the... Just ask them this. Is the penalty for sin eternal torment? Yes. Who paid the penalty of sin? Jesus. Was Jesus eternally tormented? No, he wasn't. He was dead for 3 days. Because death is a penalty of sin. He took upon himself the full effect of what sin can do, which is eternal death. And he rescues humanity from eternal death. It's indecent. It's indecent to put someone's hand on a stove for 2 seconds. That's very indecent. It's not very decent of you. I say, oh boy, not very decent of you to put your son's hand on the burner there. Not very decent at all. I always call it rather indecent. Yet God's going to burn people in hell for eternity. Yet love is not that way. Therefore, God can't do that. And this is just one of many, many, many proofs. 1 Corinthians 13. I want to make this another proof text for us. We have plenty. We have lots. Lots of proof texts that eternal torment is bullcrap. Here's another one. I'm adding to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is not taking account of evil. Love is not taking account of evil. And yet God, that's exactly what he'd be doing. Why am I burning in hell? Crackle, crackle, crackle. It hurts. It hurts. It hurts. You wouldn't believe in me. Would you say that that would be an evil? Yes, I would. But love is not taking account of evil. Oh, that would be a hell of an argument in court. That would be a hell of an argument. God would have to go, you got a point there, burning sinner. The burning sinner has a great point. The burning sinner... But not believing in you is evil, right? Crackle, crackle. Yes, not believing in me is evil. And your love, right? Your love. Yes, I'm love. Well, yeah, the very word that you wrote says that love is not taking account of evil. But every day I'm in here is another day you're taking account, crackle, crackle, of evil. God would have to, at that point, stroke his beard and say, the snap, crackle, popping sinner is making a good point. And plus, you're supposed to be kind. Is this kind? Love is kind. Yeah, God would have to rethink it. Because he's not following his own word. Excuse me. The show must go on. Love is not indecent. Love is not self-seeking. Self-seeking. Oh, yeah. self-seeking. It's just righteous of God. I'm seeking my own righteousness. I'm seeking self-satisfaction. You didn't choose me. This is part of my love. This is love burning people in hell? It's God's love. I how many times have I been told, well, God's ways are not man's ways. When I ask how God could possibly torment people in hell for eternity after he sent his son to die for the sins of the world, well, we just don't know these things. It's a mystery. God's ways are not man's ways. Oh, you mean God's ways? You mean man's ways are good and God's ways suck? Man's ways are higher? God's ways are lower? Man's love is more kind? Less taking account of evil? Less unjust? And God's love is unjust, taking account of evil and mean? Is that what we're saying? Man's ways are not God's ways. You want to slap them and get them out of the cult. It's like they're brainwashed. Their brains aren't working right. You just want to slap them like the femme fatales on the big screen. You know, you got your Hedy Lamars and your, boom, Raquel Welch's, and they'll just, Gina Lola Brigida, boom, they'll slap some guy, and he'll be, oh, wake up, like, oh, they snap out. It's like, snap the hell out of it, eternal torment, people. Snap out of it. God's love is better than human love. And even my sicko human love, it's enough to save Joel Osteen from drowning in a lake. I would do that, even though I can't stand the guy. He's my enemy. He's the enemy of the cross. I would save the guy. You're nuts. Love is rejoicing together with the truth. Yeah. Is not rejoicing in injustice. Love is not rejoicing in injustice. Oh, God's righteousness, that's another word for justice, was satisfied at the cross. At Calvary, God's justice and his righteousness was satisfied. I'm not saying that God could have just let a bunch of sinners, a bunch of unbelievers, tiptoe into heaven. No, there had to be a reckoning. And there was. Newsflash. It was Calvary. It was the cross. That is what took care of sin once and for all. That was the righteousness of God was manifest. Romans 3, verse 21. Yet now a righteousness, that is a justice of God, is manifest. Yet a righteousness of God of Jesus Christ, faith for all and on all who are believing. It's for all, but it's only on those now who are believing. But everybody is going to believe eventually. Why? Excuse me. Because that was a cough, not a sneeze. Don't God bless me. You don't God bless people for coughs. Only for sneezes. Because God is the Savior of all humanity. 1 Timothy 4:10. Love is not rejoicing in injustice. Yet we're told that the just saints, those who become angels in the next life, ah, the beautiful Christians walking on the streets of gold, they will, with a joy in their hearts, they will be rejoicing to see God's perfect indignation, God's perfect kindness. In fact, that's the picture of God's kindness for a saved parent to see his unsaved child burning in hell for eternity. Ah, I rejoice. But isn't that unjust? Doesn't it defy God's justice? Because God took care of this all injustice at the cross. Never mind. I rejoice with this injustice. And it is kind of me to look down upon the suffering of my former child who did not have the faith that I had to believe in God and Christ. But I thought faith was a gift. Never mind that. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. I believe they didn't. The only kind thing to do is to burn them in hell for eternity. Yeah. Okay. Love is rejoicing together with the truth. Here's the truth. God is the Savior of all humanity, especially of believers. 1 Timothy 4:10. Here's the truth. as an animal or dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. 1 Corinthians 15:22. Here's the truth. Ephesians 1:10. In the fullness of time, God will reconcile all things to himself through Christ. Colossians 1:20. All things will be conciliated to God through the cross, both that on heaven and that on the earth. Romans 5:18-19. One man condemns all, Adam. One man, Christ, justifies the same all. That would be Romans 5:18-19. That's the truth. That's true love rejoices together with the truth. Who wrote that truth? Who wrote those verses I just said? Who wrote them? Martin Zender? Paul? No, God wrote them. That's the truth. According to God, God rejoices with the truth. Therefore, God will be rejoicing in the salvation of the world. Death is going to be abolished. Yes, some people will go to the second death, of course. I know. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I acknowledge all that. There will be judgment. There's a great white throne. Of course, I know all these verses. But you don't know, Christians, any of the verses that talk about God's goal. The goal of the universe is to reconcile all things to himself. You just study, you study the processes. You look at the processes and you look at his means of doing things. You don't look at the goal. No. You just look at the intermediary steps. Oh, second death. Oh, you camp at the second death. You put up a billboard. You have a party at the second death. Well, that's it, I guess. And then somebody tells you, then you hear the news that God's going to abolish death. Where do you read that? 1 Corinthians 15:26. That God may be all in all. 1 Corinthians 15:28. You better pick up your billboard and move it to another location. You better pick up your little confetti machine and move it to another location. Move it to 1 Corinthians 15:26. That's where your confetti machine ought to be. 1 Corinthians 15:26-28. In fact, while you're at it, just start at verse... start at verse 21 of 1 Corinthians 15. Love is expecting all. Listen, back to me and God, back to you and God. We expect all of God. We expect all of God. We expect all justice, all kindness, all righteousness. And our expectation concerning these things, concerning our God, our expectations, not one of them will be disappointed.